This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls all over the fruited plain, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 7, where we left off last time. Excuse me, John 15, verse 7. Just before we begin, I want to thank all of you who are listening to my program and that you're leaving your messages on my voicemail. I love you so much, and thank you for telling me you love me. I'm praying for you, not just one time, but whatever your request was and your names, every single day, you're now on my daily intercessory prayer list. And thank you, and God bless you, and I appreciate you listening, and I pray that God will bless you through this program and bless you today. So keep calling. And it blesses me too. It encourages me. Thank you. And I love you. Now, last time in John 15, Jesus told us, he said, "I am the vine and you're the branch." So, Christian, you're the branch, okay? Remember, God always calls himself a tree. And you know, the branch comes out of a tree. And then he says, if you abide in me, that's the same word as mansion in John 14. In other words, rest. You know, when you say, "I'm going to take a rest," you're not walking all over the house, are you? You're sitting down in it. So if you sit down in Jesus, who is the Word, the vine is the Word, as we learned last week, you're going to stay there a while and soak in it, and you're going to swim in it, and you're going to live in it. It's going to get inside of you, inside of your spirit. And he says you'll bear much fruit. But then he says, if you don't bear fruit, he says, God's the pruner, and he'll go whack, whack, and cut you off. We learned last week that the reason that you, Christian, you branch, would get cut off, or that means he might call you home early, is because you get bent out of shape. There you are in the vine. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the Word. And you get distracted. You look at that big old proud watermelon over there in the garden. You say, boy, I wish I were big and as you know, good looking as that watermelon. And then you look over there and that is the richest pomegranate. Boy, I wish I had all those seeds. I'd be rich. And then you get up and, oh, that's a hot tomato. I wish I had that. And so you get cut off. You get bent out of shape and you get distracted and you cut off from the vine and then you're a dead branch. So that's where we left off last week.
Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you.
Oh, he's been saying vine, and we learned that Jesus is the vine. We learned that Jesus is the Word, okay? Now he's making it clear, just in case you didn't know he was talking about his Word, when you mentioned there, rest in the Word, the Father's house, he makes it very clear that he's talking about his words. Now, he didn't say if you hold the book and look at it, but if you swallow the word, hook, line, and sinker, and you swim in it, and you think it, and you pray it, and you live it, and you walk in it, guess what will happen?
You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Now, this verse is so misunderstood by so many branches, Christians in the church. It does not mean that if you are in the Bible and read the Bible that you can ask for anything you want, a Rolls Royce, a trip to Paris, or somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. I mean, you might get those things. Well, not somebody else's husband. You might get the Rolls Royce or a trip to Paris, but that's not what he's talking about. What do you say? If you abide in my will. Well, what is his will? His last will and testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament. If you abide, you rest in it, you soak in it, you swallow it, you think it, you pray it, it becomes a part of your breathing because God's word is his breath. You would only ask for his will. See, that would be, you would be so connected, there would be nothing in you that would say, my will. You would say, as Jesus, nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. So what he means here, Christian, if you're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, then you have already submitted your will to him. You know that you're about his business and not your business. So anything that you need to bear fruit, you may ask for that. In other words, when I need something to get this radio program in a material way, I ask for that, and God grants that. If you, as a sharing the truth, which will help you bear fruit, if you need wisdom to understand the word, he will give you that, and he will not upbraid you. Everybody understand? The truth is, if you're in his will, you're not that much concerned about your stuff. You're just all about his stuff.
8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples.
It makes Father very happy when he sees you blossoming and bearing fruit, because he knows you could not do that if you did not love his Son, Jesus. Now, we learned last week in Galatians 5, 23 and 24, that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, tolerance. Now, you are, compared to a tree in Isaiah 61, he says, Christian, you're a tree of righteousness. Just think of yourself as a tree all decorated with these beautiful, beautiful ornaments. And see, if you abide in him, all of that is going to show in you. You will never find a branch who abides in the vine who is bland or not attractive. We're not talking about flesh beauty. There's some kind of magic, a charisma, the Holy Spirit charisma, the Greek word is charisma. You would have that because all of those fruits are just dripping off of you and making you so beautiful, spiritually speaking.
9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you.
Now look what he did. It always looks like Jesus just abruptly changes the subject. No, he was the vine. We said the vine is Jesus. The vine is the word. Now he changes the word to love. Why did he do that? Galatians 5, 23, 24. The very first fruit of the Spirit is love. The greatest of these is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, if you're abiding in the vine, the very first thing that people are going to notice about you, Branch, is that you are dripping with love. Love is warm. Love just wants to run and grab you and hug the daylights out of you. Love will just come in there and do everything they can to make you happy. Love bears your pain and feels your pain. Love comes in when everybody else goes out. Love is warm and fuzzy. It's not cold, and it's not all shut up. And God so loved the world, and Jesus is warm. You know why love is warm? Because God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. Fire's pretty hot, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're really abiding in him, you won't just be warm love, you'll be hot love. And we say that in a holy, moral way, okay?
Continue ye in my love.
Now the word continue here in the Greek is the same word as mansion in John 14, and the word abide and abode here in this one. It means to rest in his word, a secret place, a safe place. See, the word is a safe place. You know why? Because the world doesn't know the word. The word is a safe place even to backslidden, mean Christians who are not sanctified, because they don't know the word either. See, if you are one of those few elect who's in the word, he wrote the whole Bible. He's got it laid out, placed out there. Genesis 1, Revelation 22. Yet it's a secret place to you Christians who will read it and abide in it, because most people don't know the word. Christians go to church all their life. They never heard of the first earth age in 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was. They never heard of Lucifer's rebellion, Isaiah 14, the first earth age. They never heard of the fallen angels in Genesis 6. And yet it's right there, and you are abiding in it, and you know it. See, it's hidden from them, and they can't get you. Oh, it's a secret place. God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Now you have a safe place to go.
Verse 10, if you keep my commandments.
Now, he's going to tell you in a few minutes the most important commandment for you to teach. To keep, okay, to tend, if you keep my commandments. Keep means to tend. In other words, you're going to have to tend the words of God. You don't, you know, you have to keep the word of God. That's why you need to read it all the time, memorize it, sing it, pray it, play it, and make sure you read it every day. A mother was telling her disobedient teenage son, why don't you go read the Bible? He's being bad. He said, I did. I read it once. I read Genesis all the way to Revelation. That's it. I don't need it anymore. In other words, you ate a good meal today. You got your vitamins and minerals and protein, but you're going to have to eat tomorrow. The Word of God, which is the vine, which he's talking about, is filled with love, is the food your spirit eats. Some of you are so healthy on the outside because you eat the good physical food, but you are dehydrated, you are weak and anemic, and about ready to be one of those dead branches because you are not getting your spiritual vitamins. The Word of God is life to those that find Him and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, 22, 23, 24. Man lives by every word of God.
He shall abide in my love.
So he says to continue. In other words, you don't do it one time, you repeat. In other words, you need more and more. And every time I teach a book, I learn more and more. It doesn't mean the first time was not taught correctly. God compares himself to an evergreen tree. In the book of Hosea, evergreen, 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 ever living, ever pregnant. God's word is pregnant. So every time, and so also we're in seasons. Now we're the fifth trumpet. So the book of Revelation means more to us now than it did back in Paul's time. You understand? So it's just awesome how the word of God is ever. You never, ever get it all. But you can understand it where you are, but God is pregnant, and see, he's ever producing fruit. And so you're abiding in that pregnant vine, you'll produce fruit too. That seed's going in you.
Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love.
See, the same thing. I abide in him. Father loves me. Now you stay in my word, my love, the vine, and I love you.
11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Now, in the Gospel of John, John does not describe the details of what Jesus says as much as some of the other Gospels. I feel convinced in my spirit that Jesus went down and named all nine of those fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, around about 23, 24. The second one is joy. Now you say, my goodness, but look at the troubles we all have. Look at Jesus. When he was telling this, he was about to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane and pray, not my will, thine be done. He was about to let himself be arrested, beaten with 39 stripes, slapped and punched, his beard pulled out, his head crowned and pierced to a tree. How did he have any joy? The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. The beautiful Passover psalm I teach every year to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It should be called Passover. That's the word in the manuscripts. Jesus looked down the corridors of time at you, at all of us, the branches today, knowing that we are loving him, that we have eternal life. He looked down the corridors of time in the future heaven on earth. And so you can stand anything for a season. This too shall pass, and then the good comes there. Also, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, you say, but I have so many troubles. I know. We all have gone through periods of grief where our heart is ripped out of us and there seems that we can't bear it. I'm sure you feel that way, and I know I've been there. And we love each other, and we go and hold each other, and we cry with each other. So it doesn't mean that you're jumping up and down when you have your troubles. Take time to grieve, but you still have the joy. See, the joy did not die. It might have just quieted down in you. Let me explain something. There's a difference between what the world calls happy and the fruit of the Spirit called joy. Joy is Jesus, and he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you. And he's right there, and he's waiting to rise up when you're ready and when you're able and when he's wiped your tears away. Happiness, maybe you were happy 2 months ago. Maybe you asked for a raise and you got a raise. Yay, I'm so happy I got a raise. Oh, I'm going to get this trip to Paris. Yay, I got the Rolls Royce. Yay, you know, this or that. But now you might be miserable today because that's boring now and you want something else. See, happiness in the world is fickle. But Jesus is joy and it is permanent. And I can tell you something. You can be and live in, and this speaker does, in a situation that most people, hothouse lids, would fold in 5 seconds flat. And you can handle it by the grace of God. You're not better than anyone else, but you have faith like a child. And you can still have joy and not make everybody around you miserable. And it's real joy.
Amen.
You know why? It's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't help it. So what's your trouble? Be happy.
12. This is my commandment.
Now he's going to tell us what the commandment is. You can have all of this. Let's see what it is.
That you love one another as I have loved you.
Oh my goodness. Wait a minute. He was crucified. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid the sin debts. Hebrews 2:14 to defeat death. He was pure. And we were supposed to die. And he was crucified and beaten and rejected. Oh, we're supposed to love each other that much. Let's see.
13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Now you notice he said friends there. The friend is an amazing word. We use that word so flippantly. We say, my friend, my friend, my friend. I read by a great philosopher, if you right now in this world have one person who is there for you in the middle of the night if necessary, who bears your pain and won't let go until they get you back up again, who loves you unconditionally, agape love, and accepts you like you are, who will never leave you and never forsake you, you're a blessed person. People say friends. Remember people used to, you thought were your friends? They're not there anymore, are they? Okay, see, that's how it happens. So Jesus says, I'm that kind of a friend. He laid his life down for us. Can you imagine? He is life. He always was. He is. He always will be. He is the tree of life. He never died. And he loved us so much that the wages of sin is death. He said, I'll die in your stead. Can you imagine the emotional trauma? My Lord, I'm life. I've always lived. I've never died. And I'm going to have to live. You know, he had to arrange some way so we could raise himself up from the dead. Because remember, it says God has raised the Son from the dead. Well, Father and I are one. He had it all worked out. But can you imagine the trauma? Well, you say, well, I don't think I'll have to die for my friend, but I would be there at midnight. I would walk in when everybody else walks out. Do you die to your comfort when your friend needs your care? Do you die to your pleasure, your plans, your schedule? Can you turn on a dime when your friend needs you there? Do you die to yourself or just schedule your friend in to help them when it's convenient? There you go. Paul says, I die, I live, yet not I. Christ within me, he lives, I die daily.
14, ye are my friends.
Oh, there's the word.
If. Ye do whatsoever I command you.
What did he just command us? To love one another. We love one another. You know, everybody says, I love Jesus. And some of the most mean-spirited people in the world are in the churches. My friend says, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you. And in other words, that's not love. Love really is feeling the other pain. And Jesus is going to talk about that.
15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth.
The servant just says, yes, sir, master. I wrote a song that time. Yes, sir, master. We're three singing secretaries from NASA. I wrote a program. There were three secretaries from NASA in my school, and I wrote them a song, and as they sang that. But that's what a servant does. But see, if you're a friend, then you would know the master's plan. See, many people go to church, and you call yourself a Christian, and many of you are. But do you know God's plan? Do you know really why you came through your mother's womb? Did you know you existed before? And the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Do you know that you were one of three groups of people? You either got up and went for the devil in your spiritual body and loved him, or you sat there and frozen up, I will not do anything, I will just sit and watch this show. Or maybe you got up and you fought with Michael and his archangels against the dragon in Revelation 12. We were in a spiritual body. Do you know that? See, otherwise you're just saying, I just want to do God's will. And his will is that you know that. Then you know why you're here and you'd get about your father's business. See, the friend, don't tell me you're my friend and you don't open up to me. A friend lets you know what's going on in their life. That's what my child did today. My son did this. My daughter did this. My job, this happened to me. A friend opens up and shares their life with you. People call themselves your friend and you never hear from them and they're all closed up and you really don't know what's going on except what they want you to know. Jesus says, I've written it in a book. I mean, I am completely naked before you people, says Jesus. Here I am. Love me or leave me.
But I have called you friends.
I've called you friends. Why did he call them friends? There were 11 apostles that did not betray him. He goes back to the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. There was a small group of people, Romans 8:28, predestined, prejudged, right, you're justified. That was the group that got up and fought for God, a small group. And then when they put us all in our flesh bodies to come through this second earth age one time in the flesh, with all that memory forgotten to choose Jesus or the devil, those were his friends. They stayed married to him. A friend covers your back, not stabs you in the back, right? Okay, and was sent through in every generation, and that's these 12 disciples, they were there, and 12 apostles, at least 11 of them, and Paul and Peter and David and Abraham and Isaac. Right now, being the very elect, a few of you are the elect, and you're hearing my voice. He calls your friend, because a friend sticks closer to you, and a friend sticks with you to the end, and a friend doesn't stick it to you, he sticks it with you.
Amen.
That was good, wasn't it?
That I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
See, since I'm your friend, a friend shares everything, I'm transparent, I wrote everything that you need to know about everything in my love letter to you, the Bible, Genesis 1 through to Revelation 22. See, it's all there. But see, if people don't know the Bible or abide in it, they are not Jesus' friend. Because that is God's heart. That's the heart of Jesus.
16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Okay. Now, you've gone from being a branch, abiding in the vine, the word of God, to having the love and joy of Jesus in you because you abide. Now he calls you friend, and he says, the reason you're my friend is because I chose you. Ephesians 1:4. Chosen from before the foundation of the world. That in Ephesians 1:4 foundation is a Greek word katabo, and it means Satan's overthrow in the first earth age. That small group, that remnant, chosen, foreknew, Romans 8:28, whom I foreknew, he justified and glorified, put his presence on there. That's the friend of God. See, in all the souls that God, the billions of souls he's created, or his children, all souls belong to him, Ezekiel 18. There aren't many that are his friends. Think of all the people you know who would be here in your midnight hour. You're blessed if you can find one person that knows and will come in. But Jesus knows who's his friend. They did not betray him then, and we're not going to betray him now.
And ordained you.
Oh, I thought churches ordained people. They do, and they have nice ceremonies, and they say, this man or this woman, and they'll say, we're ordaining you for the ministry. Anyone who's really chosen and called to be in the ministry, you were ordained before you ever entered your mother's womb. He said to Jeremiah, I ordained you. I called you a prophet to the nation. I ordained you before you were in your mother's womb. I knew you then. Those friends, that remnant that did not betray him, that small group, the elect, in our spiritual bodies, he chose you then, and he sent you through. And at some point in your life, you're going to come face to face with the truth, and he's going to bring you to someone there who can encourage you, and you can encourage them. And then what you're going to do, you're going to fulfill the destiny. And he chose you then. You know, since he chose us, let's just don't give too much power to Satan. Remember he said we have power over all the power of the enemy,
yes,
the serpents and scorpions. Look at it this way, elect. if Satan could have killed you, because he knows who the chosen ones are too. He hates us. We fought against him there in Revelation 12. He's called the dragon. If he could have killed you, he'd already killed you. So see, he can't. You're chosen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You're going to fulfill your destiny. So let's all get up and be happy.
That ye should go and bring forth fruit.
Bring forth fruit. What does your fruit do? What does all those beautiful jewels dripping off of you bring? They are so charismatic that the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, through these beautiful jewels falling off of you, the fruits of spirit, that it chariz, it's magnetic. It draws people to the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells in you. You bear fruit because you increase God's kingdom. And the way to increase his kingdom, first and foremost, is the word of God wrapped in pretty pink love.
And that your fruit should remain.
Oh, in other words, continue. He that continueth unto the end, endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, how could your fruit remain? 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to have the fire chest. God's going to put all of us Christians, all of our works, all of us Christians, he's going to put our works in the fire machine. He's the fire. If your work remains, and that was fruit that you bore, increase the kingdom, it will be gold and silver, and it will be shinier than ever, and it will last. If your fruit does not remain, it will be wood, hay, and stubble. You will be saved, yet so as by fire. So see, he says you continue to the end. Now, you're not the Savior, so don't misunderstand. You're not going to save them, but you could tell people of the Savior, and you could tell them the word. And if you keep bearing that fruit, that you keep shining with that love, joy, and peace, sooner or later you're going to bring yourself. Someone's going to come to him. About lasting, the word of God will last forever. The young country guy, he was very kind of backward, awkward, but he had a beautiful fiance. They were about to get married. And his mother said, "Son, you better ask her if she can cook." And so he said, "Darling sweetheart, we're going to get married after tomorrow. I forgot to ask you, can you cook?" And she said, "No." He said, "You better learn how." She said, "Why?" He said, "'Cause kissing don't last, cooking do." Okay, so the word of God lasts forever. But you can just pretend to be a Christian, and that's wood, hay, and stubble. The fruit you bring in for Jesus Christ, that lasts forever. It's better than kissing.
That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name.
What is his name? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. So see, if you're abiding in there, the only thing you would ever ask would be in the Word of God. That's why I lead these prayer groups and we do this and we pray. We prayed for the election. We prayed what was in the Word of God. And guess what? We got it.
Amen. He may give it you. 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you.
In other words, consciousness draws conscious. Birds of a feather flock together. You were chosen then because you were his friend. Romans 8:28-4 knew you and prejudged you. You were not guilty. But he sent you out because he can trust you, his friend. You know, the 1 John chapter 3 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the world is going to pass away. People who are lost and Christians who are carnal-minded, they do not really love the things of spirit. You don't find many people that you could open your heart to and share the deeper things of life, do you, Scott?
No.
Thank God that we have that, and Lord, we have this, and we're so appreciative that all of you who are sharing and listening to the deeper things. But the world will pass away, and we're not of the world. We're just sent here on an assignment. See, that's what chosen means. Chosen means preferred, favorite, elected, and given a mandate. So we didn't come here for the baubles and for the trips and the fun stuff. We came here to do a job, and we're not going to fit into this world. That doesn't mean you have to be an oddball, but you still, that if the world is your joy, you're in trouble. Remember, Jesus is your joy.
20, remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
So now see, when you sow seeds of the word of God so that you can bear fruit, if the person rejects the seed you've sown, we all go through that, do we not? Don't take it personally. They have just rejected Jesus because he is the word.
They have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also.
If they accept the word and accept Jesus and then bring them on into Trumpet of Truth, if you will, you don't have to join a church to be saved, but you should be going somewhere. If they accept them, then they've accepted Jesus. So see, you're not the grower, but you are the sower. Don't get rejected. A salesman may have to make 200 calls before he gets one customer. So just keep sowing, go on to the next one. In the morning, sow your seed, in the noontime and the evening. Keep sowing, one or the other's gonna get it. So don't take it personally. You said they won't like me. Well, they didn't like Jesus. Everybody says they wanna be like Jesus. Do you do realize Jesus was crucified?
21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake.
What's his name? His name is called the Word of God. John, this truth, his word is called the Word of God. Okay? Because the world hates the word. The word of God is Jesus, but the very words of God breathe, and it reproves people. It makes them feel guilty, as we're going to learn next week.
Because they know not him that sent me. 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak.
Now, the 1 John chapter 3 says the sin is a transgression of the law. The law is the word of God. So Jesus came and he is the word and he brought the law. So now, if you reject him, you don't have any other recourse. To whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So see, it's actually when you share the truth with someone and they reject it deliberately, they don't have any other way. There's no other way but Jesus to be saved, and he's the word.
Their sins. 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also.
Now, many religious in the world say, I love God, but no, I don't love Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. No. There's just one God, right? Okay. You say you love God, but you don't love Jesus. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We've been studying it in John. And Isaiah 7:14, Emmanuel, a virgin shall bring forth a son and shall call himself Emmanuel, God with us. So see, all of the religions of the world, you can say God all you want, but if you reject Jesus, Jesus is God, Yahweh's Savior. He is God in the flesh. He just put himself a flesh body so he could come down here and pay the sin debt for all us stubborn, recalcitrant children.
24. If I had not done many of the works which no man ever did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause.
The law is the word of God. That would be Psalm 69. There was no cause to hate Jesus. He's so beautiful and kind. He's so much fun. He's loving. He heals the sick and was willing to die for everybody. They hated him without a cause. You know, when there's righteousness around and a pure spirit around, evil folks and evil spirits hate you because you make them feel guilty.
26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth.
John 17:17. Thy word is truth. Who is the word? Jesus. He's the vine. All right. He's going to send the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus. See, it's one God. He has three different offices, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Every time you feel that touch, his left hand under your head, his right hand embracing you, his Spirit be upon you and loving you and touching you and healing you even now, that is Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of truth. See, he just had a flesh body then, but now he's free. Thank God, free at last, I'm sure he said. We all say that when we get out of these trapped, these prison flesh bodies. That's the Holy Spirit, is Jesus.
Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
One thing I've learned about the Holy Spirit, anytime I start teaching of Jesus, singing of Jesus, I was just singing a little song with my musical gloves on Jesus Be My Valentine. Because I'm singing of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will anoint and touch. You can feel that. So he verifies that Jesus is Lord.
27, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
In the beginning, God. From the beginning in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, world, Greek, Aeon, age, in the first earth age. You were there. You did not betray me like those the children of God in the spiritual body went up and went for Satan, that other group that sat there and refused to budge, the lukewarmers. But you were with me. You stood with me. Revelation 12, there were some of the children of God and fought with Archangel Michael. And you were with me. You were my friends. And you were chosen then, you were ordained then, and that's why you here, you've been sent, we've been sent on every generation, different ones, Peter, Paul, and John, and Abraham, and David, and now some of us here at the last. And what are we going to do? We're going to testify of him, because we're the end generation, we're the generation of the fig tree, and Antichrist is about to come at the sixth trumpet. We're in the fifth trump now, which is a time of learning. At the sixth trumpet, the Antichrist comes, they'll elect the friends, the chosen, the Zadok are going to be delivered up to him. What are we going to do? The Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, we will speak whatever the Holy Spirit says. And it says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. We'll be testifying of him, of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then shall the end come. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So we'll begin next week with Psalm 16. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the Word of God. I want to welcome man of God, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson, who is my associate in the ministry and my twin friend. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry.
We only have time for about one question. Can you ask me just one?
I have a good one here.
Okay.
Okay. Somebody wants to know, will everyone be equal in the eternity in heaven?
In the eternity. The answer is yes and no. Yes, in that according to Revelation, there will be no more pain, no more death, no more sickness, no more crying. God will wipe away all tears. But there is a difference. Remember, I spoke tonight of today of this fire machine, 1 Corinthians 3. The works, the fruit we bear, will be tried as gold and silver. If those last, that's good. If your works were wood, hay, and stubble, they don't last, but you are there. Also, in the book of Ezekiel, it gives us an outline of the future heaven on earth, the millennium, and the heaven. And we notice that there are different locations for people. Everybody's saved, and everybody loves the Lord. But obviously, there are different degrees and levels of the love, of a lovability. I found in human beings, some people have a greater capacity to love than others. Other people say, I love you, and that's as much as they got. Others of us just go and grab the daylights out of you, hug you to death, and give you our life and our money in the bank. And so, see, the elect inherit God, as Ezekiel says. So the elect are with God, one. I mean, that wife. I mean, just everywhere the God goes, the wife goes. And then there are the tribes out there. And then the people all over planet Earth, they love the Lord. They take their people up to Jerusalem once a year to worship the King. Everybody's alive. Everybody's happy. But as I've noticed about people, there are different capacities of love. So it's very fair. Now, I want to say this to you. I believe that in the area of love, I believe this. It's my opinion as studying people. I believe that you love God as much as you want to. See, some of you just love him enough so you don't go into the lake of fire, or so he'll give you that raise. But if you want more of him, you can have more of him. Seek him with all your heart, and you can find him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Great word.
Well, we'll have some more questions. Thank you. Great one. You know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. It's time now, ladies and gentlemen, for Scott's stuff.
Yeah, well, the Lord has showed me recently that the elect are being sifted, and they're being sifted at a whole new level. And so he was giving me a prayer Lord, I pray for those brothers and sisters who are being sifted at this time. I pray that their faith not fail. I pray for them to embrace your truth, your living word, so as not to be deceived by our enemy. I pray for their fear to be transformed into your breastplate of faith. I pray for the spirit of a warrior to be made manifest in their very soul. I pray for those around them to be supportive, understanding, and have compassion and patience with them. I pray for Jesus to pray for them, as he did for Peter, that their faith not fail. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
That is so beautiful, Scott. And we are being sifted. The elect, those friends we studied about tonight, are being sifted as Peter was sifted. And if you've not been sifted, then you need to get with it. And you want to be worthy to be sifted. But one thing, the sifter never fails. Sifter never fails. Now, for those of you who are not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit, I confess I have sinned.
Okay. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me with the Holy Spirit. And use me. To bear much fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, my phone is working again, and thank you all of you who are calling. I love you so much for that, and you bless me. Feel free to call and leave the message there if you got saved so I can add you to my daily prayer list. Now, I want you to pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise now with healing in your wings. I want to speak to all of the flu that's going around this country. Flu, I disintegrate you and your power and your aggravation in the name of Jesus with the blood of Jesus. Flu, loose God's people and let them go. Every one of you who's got the flu right now, let that flu come out of you in the name and the power of Jesus. Let your lungs open up. Let that goop come out of you painlessly, easily. Blow your nose and out it comes in Jesus' mighty name. Let your sinuses be open. Let your head not spin. Let your stomach be settled. Let your kidneys be settled. Let your colon be settled. Be healed, be healed, be healed in Jesus' name. No weapon of flu formed against you shall prosper. Healing virtue flowing top of head, the soles of the feet and the lungs and the vocal cords and everywhere. Be healed in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. To God be the glory. We say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now I can testify, 6 hours ago I had the flu and I couldn't even talk. And I'm healed now. So I practice what I preach. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. So there you have it. I was miraculously healed 6 hours ago before this program. And so now I was able to do this and I feel great. And so see, the same Lord that heals me heals you. Heals all of your diseases. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. This is a little song I wrote for Jesus. Jesus, be my Valentine. You're so fair, Lord. You're so fine. I love you, and I am thine. Jesus, be my Valentine. When I'm hurting, you are near. When I'm crying, you wipe my tear. You are ever at my side. You're the bridegroom. I'm the bride. Jesus, be my Valentine. You're so fair, Lord. You're so fine. I love you, and I am thine. Jesus, be my Valentine. By the way, Jesus, I'm your Valentine. And I believe all these listening are your Valentine. Amen. Be sure to tell people of Trumpet of Truth. You can get us on the web on demand, WMIEFM.com. I've got tons and tons of books of the Bible on there. You want to go and study and bring people in and join me on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for this again, 91.5 FM. And remember this about Jesus Yeshua. By the way, you may come on Sundays at 5 p.m. for this line-by-line teaching. We have music. I've got a new, beautiful new musical instrument. It's some gloves that play. It's beautiful. And we have that. And then we have the Holy Bench open after the teaching for healing. Now remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Now wait for my announcer and call and leave your good message. And know that I love you and God bless you and keep you. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying I love you in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
The world is wide, you can't crawl under it, you can't climb over it, baby, I've tried. And the water's deep, better fight the current now, or you'll be carried out by the tide. When you wash up on the shore, wondering what this journey's for, spread your wings in the sun. Don't give up, there's more to come. And you will find when you try, you always fall before you fly. Hey, hey, hey. Oh. Talk is cheap, work's the currency, sweat's the equity, take that to the bank. It's up to you to make some mystery out of this history. So fill in the blank when you're broke and overspent, wondering where your fortune went. Spread your wings in the sun. Don't give up, there's more to come. You will find when you try. You always fall before you fall.
was burning for you. The mistakes I made, I've been chased away to the bottom of the ocean blue. I'm a brand new man in a foreign land. I'm a man who's feeling that fire. And it's all so clear when I'm standing here at the peak of my desire. So won't you move me like you used to? Slipped on by. It's a whole new day as the darkness fades and the sun's climbing in the sky. I can see, my love, that I need your love. I'm before you a broken man. And it's only you, no substitutes, who can renew this soul again. So won't you move me like you used to? I want the world to know I burn for you. Got me believing I could save the day. I'm up and running like there ain't no tomorrow. I'd rather burn for you than fade away. I'd rather burn for you than go my way.
I'm a whole new guy with a whole new fire. Change inside, more flame in the fire. Can't stop, won't stop, brand new design. Like the bunny on the screen feels so energized. Old shell gone without a trace, new face. No more shortness of breath, new pace. Live life now without a taste, can't fear. Till we mac double touch, now let the smoke clear.
Conquered the grave. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Your love's enough to see the broken hearts. Get a brand new start with a brand new heart. As the faithful hope of things unseen, you're enough to see.
Though I can't see your holy face and your throne in heaven above, it seems so far.